Welcome. Thank you, Graham and Sarah. That was beautiful. Good morning, and welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WOOF. My name is Christine Leffler, and I will be your lay leader today. Welcome especially to all of you in the sanctuary with us today, to those watching at home, online, or downstairs, in real time, or for those who are watching us later this month, you are all welcome here. To all who are yearning for community, you are welcome here. To all who are just getting started, to all who long to go deeper, to all with tender places needing care, you are welcome here. To the ones who have healed and have care to give, you are welcome here. For those who are curious and hungry to learn, for those who know they have something to teach, you are welcome here. For the ones who are just beginning to suspect that they might nurture others becoming, to the young and to the old, the innocent and the jaded, the fresh of mind and the deeply seeped. There is room here for each and every one, and each and every one is welcome here.
Thank you, Christine. As we gather this morning, Paisley is our chalice lighter today, and I am going to share with you a poem by Adrienne Marie Brown, called "It Must Be Possible, It Must Be Us. We are the only ones still here." The ancestors singing down storms say they pushing tectonic plates in the world unseen. I know we are all tired. Breathe in. Bear down. An ash-dusted butterfly, a luminescent hummingbird, a cacophony just arrived to the garden for the first time. What if we risked cocoon just once? What if we flew many ways as one? Our inheritance is heavy, imbued with fear, thick with atomic victory, with the mycelial magic of death. The sacrifices spill our hands, coddle no one, there's no time. I know it's at least my friend's mama, my homie's wife, my favorite Taurus, at least two of my grands, and Harriet and Octavia. I know I can't comprehend this. I have nothing but the faith of the living. All I know is this pulse rooting through me. All I know is what I'm growing against. All I know is what I've planted. No manipulation works in the soil. Nothing but real sun, real time, real water. All I know is the harvest leans abundant. All I know is this is all of ours. All I know is we bloom. Each generation has a role to play, holds seven generations every day. It must be possible for us. Despite appearances, we are the only ones here. It must be possible. It must be us. We are the only ones still here. I invite you to rise in mind, body, or spirit and sing with us hymn number 346, "Come Sing a Song with Me."
Come sing a song with me. Come sing a song with me. Come sing sing a song with me, that I might know your mind. And I'll bring you hope, when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love, and a rose in the winds it's high. Dream with me, that I might know your mind. And I'll bring you hope, when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love, and a rose in the winter time. Come walk in rain with me, come walk in rain with me, come walk in rain with me, that I might know your mind. And I'll bring you home, when home is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love, and a rose in the winter time. Come share a rose with me, come share a rose with me, come share a rose with me, that I might know your mind. And I'll bring you home, when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song.
Thank you, Graham, and thank you all. And in the spirit of bringing roses to one another, please turn and greet your neighbors, whether you have met them 100 times or just this morning. Let's continue all of these incredible conversations during the potluck and coffee hour after the service.
Why I Should Hike Every Day, No Matter What, by Rosemary Wotola Tromer. I didn't know how trapped I was in my own busyness until walking past a quiet lake and up through a lush spruce forest, I felt how with each step towards the tree line, more calendar squares disappeared, and all my lists dissolved until I was nowhere but wading through waist-high bluebells with corn lilies rising above my head. How still my mind was then, still as I traversed creeks and clambered over fallen trees, still as I climbed to the place where the clear water streams down gray cliffs and yellow monkey flowers flourish on the banks, I was bathed with gratefulness. Is it true that to know this freedom once is to be able to carry it like a touchstone in my body? Will the larkspur have any dominion tomorrow when I'm trapped in a deadline? Will the scent of summer's last wild roses return when I'm scrambling for just 10 more minutes? Oh, freedom, I long to contain you. That thought makes me laugh. Yet it's true. I long to find myself mid-hustle, still linked with the gurgling stream, its waters so cold, I can't help but gasp.
This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. And I am going to invite children of all ages to come and hang out with me up here. But I am not going to tell you a story. You're just going to have to find out when you get here. And I truly do mean all ages. This is, in fact, time for all ages. Hi, let's find a place to sit. Oh. Hi, buddy. Welcome, good morning. Oh my goodness, we have new folks. We have faces I've seen lots of times and faces I've never seen before, and I'm so excited. Now, you all who are sitting back there might not be able to see all of us, but we look pretty awesome up here. And we're going to have a conversation this morning about values. Now, before you ask any questions, I'm going to tell you something. Today, after you guys all go to RE, the grown-ups are going to talk about some pretty important stuff. And you might even get to hear about it after church. But right now, I'm curious to know if anybody can tell me a value. Do you know what that word means or what a value might be? Yes. What's that?
I think a value is probably like something that means something, like a value as in like either something valuable or like a value as in like,
yeah, you got it.
Like a rule almost, like.
Oh. So a value is something that means something. Can you think of an example of a value?
Actually, no.
That's totally fair. I have a value. One of my values is love. So if I tell you that one of my values is love, can you maybe think of another value?
Oh, yeah. Give me a second.
How about you? No? How about you, Nora?
My dog.
Yes. And what is it about your dog that you value?
That he's living a good life.
Living a good life. Yes. Dads are values too, aren't they? Yeah, we value dads a lot. Dad, I don't know if you can see this, but we got a big value right here. How about somebody down this way? I'm going to send the mic down. How about values?
I value my family.
Yeah. Family is a great value.
Peace.
Ooh, that's a good one. Does Irene have a value? Irene values the ability to say no when she chooses it. How about you, Oakley?
I value snacks.
Oh, Chris, very important.
I value my friends.
Yeah. These are all super incredible things to value. Sometimes we value things like peace or love. Sometimes we value justice. Sometimes we value knowledge. One of the things that I value most in the world is community. And that's what we are all doing here this morning. We are building community. So as you're thinking about things that you discuss in RE and Paisley shares a value with us.
My value is strength.
That's a great value. Strength isn't.
I see my mom and dad's faces.
You do. Do you want to go say hi to them or do you want to stay here? We got one incoming. But as we think about community and the way that we value community, I'm going to invite all of us to think about what it means to be in community with one another. Did you want to share a value before we go? Okay. There was a look of panic, so we're going to value that no. All right. So think about community. Think about what you value. Religious education is going to be outside today because it's beautiful outside and there's so much playing to do. So I'm going to invite everybody who is willing to stand and form arches over the aisles. We're going to put the words on the screen and sing the children out to RE. We hold you in our love as you go, may your hearts be at peace as you go, to nurture the spark of your precious life. We hold you in our love as you go.
Gratitude and giving. Please take a moment to sit up a little taller in your chair. Maybe put both feet on the ground if you are comfortable doing that. Let your spine be tall like one of the great Douglas firs just outside our windows. If you are comfortable closing your eyes, maybe take a moment to close your eyes. Take a slower, deeper breath and just reflect back on the last week since the last time we gathered here. And think about maybe one thing you're grateful for. Maybe you were able to take a hike this week, a swim in a river. Maybe your garden is in full bloom. Maybe someone was especially kind to you. Whatever it might be, let that feeling of gratitude wash over you. We are grateful you are here today. And I want to invite the ushers up to come and get the baskets. And I want to introduce our Donate the Basket recipient this month. It's Gifts Rwanda. And Annie Mills, the daughter of Barbara Joy, is going to come up and say a couple of sentences about this.
Thank you for allowing me to come and share today. Gifts Rwanda only responds when invited to help the people of Rugarika create sustainable, positive change that encourage and support abundant, joy-filled lives. You can learn more about us on your website, and outside of this room I have information, but I thought something I learned this morning would be more powerful than me just telling you our mission and our values. I was in Rwanda 1 year ago in the village today, and we were visiting homes that we were able to work with the villagers to build. We stumbled upon a woman with her 6 children who were living in dirt. We talked to her and were able to work with her in order to build a house with her for her 6 children. I received a photo this morning. She is now a cleaner within our multi-purpose activity center. She cleans our chicken farm, our sewing building, which is for new moms to learn trade skills. She is learning how to sew, and the photo was of her with her 6-year-old daughter in a dress that she had sewn for her. She was at a sewing machine with a look of pride, and her daughter is smiling in the photo with even more pride. That is what I get to be a part of with Gifts Rwanda. And if you would like to see that photo or any more information about this nonprofit organization, please feel free to visit me after the service right outside the door, or visit our website, giftsrwanda.org, or visit your website here where there's more information. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We receive these gifts of time, talent, and treasure in the spirit of generosity and community in which they are given. Okay. I invite us all to just take a big, deep breath in and think about the things in your life that are hard. There might be a situation, a story, a person, a meeting. All kinds of things in our lives are hard right now. Some of them bring us sorrow or deep grief. Some of them might even bring us anger or frustration. Take one more big, deep breath in, and as you exhale, just let yourself move that feeling through your body. And on your next inhale, I invite you to think about the joy in your life, The fact that it is no longer 90 degrees right now. The fact that it is sunny and not torrential downpour like it was just 12 hours ago or so. The fact that there are roses blooming, or that autumn is on the way by the changing leaves and the top of trees we can see just from our building. I'm looking at red leaves right now on a maple tree. Think about those things that bring you happiness, love, compassion, exuberance. Breathe them deeply into you. And as you take one more exhale, just let all that move through you. And when the music begins, I invite you to join us at the front of the sanctuary. You can come up through the aisle that is on your right and return back to your seats in the aisle that's on your left and place a stone in the water for any and all joys and sorrows or anything that you are bringing into this space today. Because we are community, and community is built to hold one another and all that we bring to it.
And now we have our granddaughter here for a week.
And as I place a final stone in the water, I hold in it all of the joys and the sorrows left unspoken in our hearts that we carry with us. May we be held in them in community. I invite us to take a moment now to settle into our seats, however you are going to be comfortable. To take a few more deep breaths, as deep as your body will allow, and spend a few moments in prayer or meditation or silent reflection, as is your practice. I want to extend a special thank you to Cheyenne Chapman, who is our pianist this morning. We are so grateful and so lucky. We are also lucky because we are welcoming a guest group this morning for our special music. This is the Singing Ramblers. The Singing Ramblers are all members of the Rosetown Ramblers LGBTQ+ Square Dance Club here in Portland. And as individuals, they sing in the collective with the Aurora Chorus, the Portland Lesbian Choir, and the Portland Gay Men's Chorus. But somehow they still needed to find a way to do more singing. All of the members attend United Church of Christ or UU churches. And with us this morning, we have Paul Boisvert, Kristen Burkert, Mark Clift, Rick Marshall, and Eve Sepulveda. And Cheyenne Chapman is their accompanist. They're here to offer us a medley of hope and inspiration. You'll never walk alone and climb every mountain. you so much. Thank you. I knew it was going to be good when I got the invitation to have them sing, but I was not prepared for the tears, so my apologies. As I take a moment to collect myself and learn a very important ministerial lesson that I will be sharing with my seminary classmates as soon as school starts, which is, don't wear glittery eyeshadow if you're going to cry during the service. It gets everywhere. Thank you again to the Singing Ramblers. You will certainly be welcomed back. All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change. Earthseed, the books of the living. Thus begins the prophetic novel by Octavia Butler, Parable of the Sower. The words are part of a new scripture called Earthseed. Now, despite the novel being written nearly 40 years ago, the book is set in 2024. In fact, the very first page is dated July 20th, 2024, and begins with the diary of Lauren Oya Olamina, a 15-year-old girl living in a walled neighborhood in Southern California. Her neighborhood is walled not because they are rich, but because the world is profoundly unsafe outside the walls. Poverty and crime have taken over most of society. Lauren and her friends and family don't leave the neighborhood unless they must, and they only do so armed. No one has cars anymore. Everything is rationed, and the world is an incredibly desolate place. Parable of the Sower and its sequel, Parable of the Talents, discuss with somehow complex ease the issues of racism, classism, sexism, ageism, homophobia, transphobia, military dictatorship, megalomaniacal presidential candidates who use the campaign slogan Make America Great Again, and what it means to follow your faith and trust in yourself against all odds to find a new way to be in the world. Octavia Butler published Parable in 1993. It is unknown if she was clear just how prophetic her work would be. But we know that when she wrote it, it was intended to be both a dystopian and a utopian novel. It is a Bildungsroman, a story of a young person coming of age and finding their way in the world. And it was also a warning of what could happen, not what would happen. Although, unfortunately, it seems that some people have picked it up and used it as a playbook, not a lesson. Butler famously described herself as a pessimist if I'm not careful, a feminist always, a black, a quiet egoist, a former Baptist, and an oil and water combination of ambition, laziness, insecurity, certainty, and drive. Born in Pasadena, California in 1947, Octavia Estelle Butler grew up in poverty, raised by her widowed mother and maternal grandmother. She found solace in books at a young age, even with the challenges of dyslexia. And at 13, a teacher suggested that she submit one of her short stories to a magazine, a decision that set her on the path to becoming a writer. Octavia attended Clarion Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Workshop in Pennsylvania after completing a degree at Pasadena City College and courses at UCLA, where she studied with Harlan Ellis. It was at Clarion that she discovered something truly crucial was lacking in the worlds of science fiction and fantasy. That thing, it was her voice, the voice of a black woman, and the experiences of someone who wasn't a white man. Butler literally wrote herself into the genre, famously and unapologetically claiming, "You got to make your own worlds. You got to write yourself in. Whether you were part of the greater society or not, You got to write yourself in. Following this path, Butler became the first published black female science fiction writer, pioneering what would become known as Afrofuturism. Her first novel, Pattern Master, was published by Doubleday in 1976 and is the first book in the Patternist trilogy. She went on to write 12 more books, including perhaps her most famous, Kindred, which was published in 1979, which tells the story of Dana, a contemporary African-American writer who is hurtled backward in time to antebellum Maryland, where she must learn to conform to the times in order to survive. In 1995, Butler was awarded a MacArthur Genius Grant, the only science fiction writer to be honored with this award. She also won prestigious Hugo and Nebula Awards, the highest honors in science fiction writing, a Penn Lifetime Achievement Award, and the City College of New York's Langston Hughes Medal in 2005. Butler tragically died of a stroke and a fall at her home in Seattle in 2006. Throughout her career, she never backed down. Her work opened doors for black writers, for black women writers, and for black queer writers to tell their stories without the need for black characters to have plot lines that focused solely on their race. In a 1999 journal entry, Butler reflected on her writing career. She said, "I never bought into my invisibility or non-existence as a black person. As a female and as an African American, I wrote myself into the world. I wrote myself into the present, the future, and the past." Now, I distinctly remember the first time I picked up Parable. I was 14 and had just returned a stack of books to the middle school library. The librarian told me they'd gotten a new book in that I might enjoy, but it would be a hard read. They fought the district for 3 years to get it included at that grade level. As she handed me the book, Parable of the Sower, another librarian turned on a television to see the news story of a devastating school shooting in Colorado happening live. It was April 20th, 1999. To this day, I'm not sure that a 14-year-old is ready for Parable, unless they have the conversation and guidance of an adult with whom to discuss the book. I know many adults who can't make it past the first chapter. And yet, when I reread Parable in 2020 alongside Toshi Reagan and Adrian Marie Brown for their podcast Octavia's Parables, I realized that the world of most 14-year-olds these days isn't that different from the world Octavia writes about. Climate depredation and collapse, social decay, racism and xenophobia in wide arcs across the nation, all of these appear in Parable and in the lives of young people today. You might wonder, then, why anyone would read this book or why it has been deemed so deeply prophetic in its story. Well, the truth is, Parable, ultimately, is a story of fearful and fearless hope. Lauren, who starts out as 15-year-old, as our protagonist, understands that the world is an unsafe place. She studies her father's books about survivalism and herbalism and growing food and building shelters and what's safe to eat in the wilderness and what isn't. She tries to explain to her family that this information will be crucial. She tries to teach even the smallest children, the ones who attend the homeschool in her living room run by her stepmother, that they need to protect themselves and how. How to know what to do when the worst happens. Because the worst, somehow, always happens. In Lauren's case, the violence and hatred from outside breaks through the walls of her neighborhood and her family is murdered. She flees, making her way toward Northern California and the hope of land and space to build safety. We all hope every day that the worst doesn't happen to us, that our families are whole and safe, and that we have all we need to survive. But so often we don't know what's truly happening in the lives of those around us. Someone might have lost a beloved to death or war or disagreement. Someone might have lost a job and be struggling to buy food and pay their bills. Someone might be hurting their mind or body or heart, deep in pain and suffering in silence. Parable teaches us through the journey of Lauren and the founding of Earthseed that community is crucial to survival. On the journey northward, Lauren meets wary survivors along the way who become first allies and then family. As the novel progresses over years of struggle and change, Lauren refines her understanding of both Earthseed as a belief system and a series of writings that become scriptures, and of God. From her earliest days as the daughter of a Baptist minister, Lauren helps us to understand that to her, God is change. Lauren tells her allies, change is ongoing. Everything changes in some way. Size, position, composition, frequency, velocity, thinking, whatever. Every living thing, every bit of matter, all the energy in the universe changes in some way. She continues, there's still more complexity when you're dealing with several things at once, as you always are. There are all kinds of changes in the universe. Earthseed deals with ongoing reality, not with supernatural authority figures. Worship is no good without action. With action, it's only useful if it steadies you, focuses your efforts, eases your mind. Adrienne Marie Brown, author, activist, and creator of the Emergent Strategy series, talks about being influenced by Butler in profound ways. With Toshi Reagan, the daughter of Bernice Johnson Reagan of blessed memory, who was a founder of the Freedom Singers and Sweet Honey in the Rock, Adrienne recorded Octavia's Parables, a podcast series discussing each chapter of the parable books in detail leading up to the 2020 election cycle. She also edited with Walida Imarisha Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. Brown reminds us in all of these projects the way that we can imagine new futures and new possibilities, even in the bleakest of times. She says, if you're feeling numb, dig into that feeling. Numb leads to overwhelmed. Overwhelmed leads to rage. Rage leads to heartbreak. Heartbreak leads to something's gotta change. Don't give up on pursuing yourself. When we consider that, we truly do have the possibility to not just imagine, but create new worlds. What else might we do? How else might we choose to be and to act? Here at WOOF, there are ways we're acting in alignment with the practices and beliefs of the Earthseed movement. Our Director of Religious Education, Izzy, has imagined new ways of engaging the youth with Unitarian Universalism through collaborative storytelling, imaginative role play, and the aid of dice by writing Dungeons and Dragons campaigns featuring historic Unitarian, Universalist, and UU figures. They've also brought to the younger ages new ways of play and exploration that allow for self-discovery and creative conversation. In 2022, our congregation was heavily involved in campaigning for support of Measure 114, a ballot measure that imposed heavier restrictions on handguns in Oregon. Members of our congregation wrote postcards and letters to voters, and also regularly rallied at the major Garden Home intersection with signs in support of the initiative. And we donate our offering basket once a month. This month, the donation collected today will go to Gifts Rwanda. Past recipients have included food banks, social justice organizations, initiatives that support local youth and houseless populations, and more. In an interview with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!, Adrienne Marie Brown encapsulates the belief system of Earthseed in one clear statement. I have a greater destiny than your oppression, and my destiny will take me beyond anything that your oppression can hold from me. When we clearly identify what we value and where oppression seeks to hold us back from joy, from love, from community, and from our destiny, we can truly find the hope to survive even the most desolate of times. We build community through possibility and through our mutual care and passion for justice. Justice that is not only for the people who look or talk or believe like us, but for everyone. And in imagining and building these communities, we truly can build a loving and just world. We can help bring Earthseed from the page to the present and to the future that we all seek. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.
Thank you, Sarah. It feels so incredibly special to be up here with you today on our 2-year anniversary at WWF. We both attended WWF for the first time separately 2 years ago. Now we're friends. I wrote this poem at Elliott last week, Changing Tides. The tides change day to day, predictably. Depending on the shore you stand on, the difference between high and low tide varies widely. As the oceans rise on the tidal wave of global warming, I wonder, will these tides become less predictable? I like to think that humanity will come together and create rafts for everyone, modern-day arks. Commerce will become seeds exchanged for drinkable water, a blanket for some firewood, an hour of electricity for an hour of time on a cell phone. Necessities become pleasures, a loaf of bread for a jug of wine, a poem in exchange for a foot rub. A foraged bundle of chamomile for some homegrown lavender. Everyone uses their good china because tomorrow is not promised. Everyone chooses kindness, or at least patience. An extra chair placed at every gathering. No need to wait for the tide to change. Start today.
Thank you, Christine. As we start to bring our time in this space to a close, I'm going to invite us to join in song one more time, technically the penultimate time, as I remember. But we're going to sing the Tom Chapin song, This Pretty Planet. The words are up here on the screen, and if you know it, please join in. We're going to sing it through twice, so if you don't get it the first time, that's okay. You have another chance to lift your voice in song. So please rise if you choose in mind, body, or spirit and join with us in this song.
This pretty planet spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your holy place, golden sun going. blue giant spin us around all through the night. Safe till the morning light, this pretty planet spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your holy place. Golden sun going down, gentle blue giant, spin us around all through the night. Safe till the morning lights.
And especially thank you again to Cheyenne and Graham and the Singing Ramblers for all of our music today. Will you put the chalice out for us? As we breathe together, we remember that what we value is what we bring to each room we enter, each door we walk through, and each heart that we meet on this journey. Now, if you're unfamiliar with our practice, at the end of our services, we sort of turn and face an ambiguous center of the room. The goal is to be looking into the faces of one another. And we're going to sing together, Carry the Flame. If you don't know it, the words are on the screen. So if you need to turn to see the words, that's okay. You are welcome to join hands. Oh, I'm mistaken. Well, then we'll just sing it. And it'll be perfect because we are in community. And community is what matters. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Go in peace, go in love, go in community with one another.